On Midwest Week, as state supervision of the school district continues, the Davenport superintendent retires. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Tony Watt, reporter for the Quad City Times and Dispatch on Argus. So, Tony, tell us about Dr. Robert Kobielski. When did he first come to the Davenport School District? Where did he come from, and who did he replace?
Mr. Kobielski started last year. He came from, as I remember, Wisconsin, and he replaced Art Tate, who, and then when he got here, he kind of had a lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff going on in the district when he arrived. So when he first got here, they had to get some of the certifications that he required to, like, be superintendent, but he was also dealing with work that the state and the school district were doing on a number of citations the state had issued against the Davenport School District for a variety of issues, some financial, some involving concerns that black students in the district were not being treated equitably. And while that was all going on, Mr. Kobielski also then encountered COVID-19 as did the rest of the public school officials in the Quad Cities. So that was kind of everything in the first part of his experience here.
Have the Davenport schools been in school very much, or have they been learning remotely most of the time this fall?
They have largely adopted a hybrid program. With that is a blend of in-person and remote learning. Basically, they're either in the classroom with the teacher, or they are at home learning through their computer. The Iowa has some specific requirements at what the ratio is for that, but that's mostly been the program that they have adopted. They've had to go fully virtual a couple of times, at least once, and then I believe they delayed the start of the school semester as well because of the extent of the COVID-19 pandemic at the time. Again, I'm doing a little bit of that from memory, so forgive me for that. But that they've largely been in the hybrid program, but they have been fully virtual at least once, I think maybe more than once.
Okay, so Dr. Kobielski got here last year. He was finally certified sort of in the summer of 2019. And then this fall, as you alluded to, he sort of lost his job. What happened? What was that all about, Tony?
All right, so the state, as part of its ongoing work with the district to deal with those citations, had been having them make reports to them. In October, they actually put their own interim superintendent in charge. He was another district staffer, T.J. Schneckloff, but there were concerns on the part of state education officials that the district was not meeting the requirements that they needed to do to adequately follow up on action plans that were in place to help them deal with the citations. So the state elected to put their own person in charge for 6 months. So what TJ's job is primarily, as I understand it, is to help guide the district through the processes that are going to remedy or largely remedy the state citations. It's supposed to last about 6 months, and since I believe it started in October, it will end early next year.
Okay, so Tony, was Dr. Kobielski somehow personally responsible for this, or the state people decided that as the superintendent, he should be responsible in some way? What was his role?
I would not say that. Mm-hmm. I believe, and again, this would at this point be my opinion, but I would not say that he was viewed as being personally responsible for what occurred, at least not based off of what I observed. I believe that the state decided they needed to be meeting these benchmarks, and they just were not where they were at. And the best way to deal with that was to put someone in that position. Mr. Kobielski was not fired. At that time, he was basically put in a position similar to like an assistant superintendent. So the interim leadership was going to be dealing specifically with the steps that needed to be done to deal with the state citations. And then Mr. Kobielski, we found out at a later meeting, was dealing with other issues offsite. So he was like looking into district transportation and doing some other things as directed by the interim leadership. As far as full details on what those are, I can't speak to that. That's what we knew based off of the meeting coverage.
Okay, so his retirement last week, was that a surprise?
Yes.
Did anyone see that coming?
I was watching for it. I think most people in the media that are covering education were at least watching for the possibility. It happened. I'm sure most people were expecting some sort of conversation about what his place was going to be in the district after this occurred. And so, you know, it's one of at least two scenarios, the possibility that he stays and he takes over with the district again after it's done and sees out his contract, which was supposed to end in 2022. That's not what happened. In the end, he and the district ironed out a retirement agreement, and it went effective December 7th upon the approval of that agreement. I believe it was Monday.
Okay. And it was a part of, he was able to join the early retirement program that the district had set up for other employees too?
Yes, that is correct. This was a program that was adopted a little bit back. If I remember, a big part of it was trying to cut some costs. And so they implemented an early retirement program that was supposed to help mitigate some of the employee costs. And they modified that so that he could join it and did some things that were specific to him. The agreement remained the same for the other employees that took part, and they modified it in some specific ways that were specific to Kobylski.
Okay, so Tony, the state of Iowa took over the Davenport District, or supervision of the Davenport District, back in October, I guess it was. From your vantage point, have you seen any impact, any changes? What can you and I see that the state has made a difference?
Okay, well, because, you know, we don't have as much close access as we would like because of the pandemic. Largely, this has been from watching the meeting coverage. But Mr. Schneckloff has been giving regular updates as to where they are at board meetings. He has, something important to note, while he is advising the school board, he is answering directly to the state. So that is one interesting dynamic of this situation. Is the right now the school board is not his direct supervisor, the state is, but he has been advising them during their board meetings. And so he's been talking about the groundwork. Largely what's been going on so far is laying groundwork for various things that will lead to the remedies that they are seeking. One of those is violence prevention and crisis response, how the district deals with discipline problems and things that they might encounter in the individual buildings. They've been working on trying to make those more uniform so that everybody has the same baseline to work from. That's one thing they've been working on. And these are all based on either Mr. Schneckloff's updates or those from the Mississippi Bend Area Education Association, which is working with him as part of the interim leadership. They've been doing briefings with the board members on how to work with data more closely when it comes to finances or student performance and things like that. So the school board has been making a lot of efforts to learn more about how to work with those kind of materials. And then at the last state education board meeting, they mentioned that the district's reports on their action plan had more of the data that they wanted, and they were much more comfortable with what they were seeing in those reports.